Good morning, brothers and sisters. I hope you enjoyed that song, the Song of Africa. It's one of our CDs. Just want to say, I think we have about 10 left. They cost 100 rand, but today you can get them for 50. So those who go first, you have them. That's one of the songs that we love, the Africa for Jesus Mass Choir. Everyone who comes to Back to the Bible, they are automatically in the choir because Africa can sing as no other continent. That's one of the gifts God has given us. Now, it's a joy for me to introduce my husband to you. He was a very shy schoolboy, never spoke a word. But when he started growing up, God made him a leader. And I'll never forget the day when he came home after 14 years that he was a brigadier. They didn't make him a general because he wasn't drinking with the others, wasn't telling dirty jokes in the army. When he came along, they would say, "Chaps, chaps, this shy is coming." They kept him down, and then God made him a general, and he called me and the four sons, Francois, Frikkie, Ferdy, and Fanny, and said, "I've got something to say," and there was a sparkle in his eye, and then he said, "God made me a general." You can think the jumping and shouting and joy, because we adore our Father. God gave him to us, a strong leader. He's going to speak to you about leadership from the Bible, and I know you're going to enjoy it. God bless you. Let's pray. Father, you call leaders quiet people, strong people, heavy talkers, people who are intellectual, different people. You call them to be leaders for God. And we ask that as we listen, you'll touch our hearts and you'll make each one of us a leader in your own image, in our own little corner of the world. We ask this, and will you bless Baba Shai as he speaks to us, that something will touch our hearts because of Jesus. Amen.
Greetings in Jesus' name. Shall we open our Bibles? Matthew chapter 20, from verse 26 to 28, I'm going to read to you. Matthew 20, from verse 26. "It shall not be so among you, but whoever would be great among you must be your servant. And whoever would be first among you must be your slave. Even as the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many." Leadership, leadership. The Lord Jesus saying, even as the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve. We all agree that the greatest leader ever who lived was and is Jesus Christ. Back to the Bible. Many books have been written. Even myself, I've written a book about leading God's church. But at the end of the day, if you want to know anything about leadership, it's in the Bible. This is the best guide for leadership. To be a leader does not mean that it is about qualifications or about your salary or about your property or your rank or your position. I know even about professors who are not leaders. He can come and stand here, he can share a lot of knowledge to me and to all of us, but he's not a leader. I even know of pastors who are very, very shy and even be open about saying, "I'm not a leader." But the good news is, if you're a Christian, if you confess Jesus Christ, then you are a leader. And you are a leader when you have followers, people to follow you, people to listen to you. Whether you in grade 10 at school, whether you're at university, if you know Jesus and if you obey his rules, you are a leader. Right. Let's talk about biblical leadership qualities. Now, the Bible speaks of six major metaphors when speaking of a good leader. The Bible says a leader is a servant who waits on others. Serving. Scapegoat who carries others' burdens, who are prepared to stand in for somebody else. Then also a shepherd who cares for and protects the sheep. You have to have people following you. If you want to be a leader, you have to have people listening to you, following you, so you the shepherd and you caring for them. Then also steward who takes care of finances and valuables. Somebody who is reliable, whom you can trust. Then also a leader is a student, scholar, and scribe who listens and learns from others. As Dr. Peter Hammond said, we have got two ears and one mouth. To listen is always, you will find yourself on the safe side. And then, of course, as a leader, you also need to be a salesperson who motivates and inspires others. Jesus uses himself as an example of leadership in Matthew 20 verse 26 to 28, which I've just read to you. Jesus was the number one servant leader. What did he do? He even washed the stinking feet of his disciples. Have you ever washed anybody else's feet? Yes, this is what the Lord Jesus wants us to do. Christ-like leadership is needed in both the church as well as in Africa, and for that matter, for the whole world. Now, the Bible describes leaders as the elders, deacons, overseers as a bishop, pastor as the shepherd, and also as a deacon. Now, what I want to say is there are, on different fields, different leaders. If I must say that for me, Jesus is our example. He's the servant leader. Jesus is our example because Christ is our leader. And Christ is a humble person, serving, loving, caring with integrity, and praying for each one of us, interceding, sitting at the right hand of God our Father at this very moment, interceding for each and every one of us, for you and for me, so that we will be obedient in what God said to us. And obedience is a very important part of leadership. And that is that go and make disciples. Go and make disciples. Jesus said to you and to me, he didn't say, go and make converts. He said, go and make disciples. Because a disciple is an ongoing process. If I'm being discipled, I've been introduced to Jesus, then I will get the people whom I'm leading as a leader, I will be doing that. And Jesus was persevering. He was willing to suffer. Yes. And if we speak about integrity, integrity means this is a faithful person. Jesus is faithful. What he says in the Word of God is the truth. Sometimes people, they say one thing and they do another thing. Now, leadership has been so important in the world that even there's a leadership Bible being written by Maxwell. I don't know whether you know about this. And really, this is a wonderful Bible about leadership. Now, what I want to say is that the Lord Jesus, as we've said, is our ultimate leader, Jesus Christ. We need to follow in his footsteps and we need to keep our eyes on him. I want also to clarify one point, and that is sometimes you say, he's the boss. He's the manager. There's a difference between the leader and a manager. A manager manages logistics. How many chairs, how many tables, how many pens, how many books and everything. That is a manager. You manage all the logistics. But a leader is somebody who is dealing with people, working with people. The manager controlling equipment, etc. In our minds, we need to be clarified on that. Then, the world leaders, the ordinary person out there who might not be a Christian, for him as a leader, it's very important that I am the boss. I am the CEO. I'm very important. I need to be served by everybody. I'm highly paid. I have a very high position, and all the luxuries goes with my position being the CEO or whatever I might be called. So then in the military, I want to say, to be a leader in the military is, number one, you need to be trained, you need to have the knowledge, you need to be disciplined. Are you disciplined? You know when you're disciplined, if you can say to yourself, no, wrong, I'm not going to do it, then you're disciplined. If you can't do that, if you just let go, you're not disciplined. And then, of course, in the military, you need to be obedient and you need to be loyal. When I was in Angola, apart from being a Christian, I was obedient to the big bosses, the generals who gave me the instructions what to do and what not to do, and I was loyal. And I was prepared to take the bullet from the front and not the bullet from my back running away. That is loyalty, that is obedience. And in the military, you have to strategize. Dr. Peter Hammond explained to us, if you don't plan, you plan not to succeed. You have to plan well in advance. And therefore, the strategy, even of the war we are in today as Christians, you have to strategize. You have to make sure that your tactics is properly done. And then, of course, drills. I've just spoken to my brother at the back. He's also was also a paratrooper in the military, and I was a paratrooper in the military, and I had to do exactly what they tell me to do. Even when I stand in the door and I look in front of me and the sender will say to me, go, I just go, I jump. Although I've got a funny taste in my mouth and I got butterflies, because to jump is not easy. It's not easy. And if you look down and you see how far the ground is, and you see the wind going like that, you know it's going to be a hard landing. But it's the drill, and you've done it, and repetition. You've done it so many times, and that's the reason why you do it. And then you've been on the shooting range, and they taught you how to shoot, and what to shoot, and when not to shoot. But if you shoot, you shoot to kill. Yes, that is to be a soldier, a military leader. So there are many different leaders. But for us, the most important is that we should be a Christian leader. A Christian leader, one who will follow in what Jesus is teaching us and what Jesus is saying to us. I want to say that there are many characteristics of leadership. Of course, you need to know in which direction you're going, keeping your eyes on Jesus, but you have to have a vision. Even each one of us, once you complete school, you pray and you ask the Lord God, Lord, you made me with your own hands. I'm not factory made, I'm handmade. Lord, what do you want me to do? What was your plan when you made me? And the Lord will tell you, and the Lord will show you, he will guide you, and eventually then you have to do it. But you can't do it unless the Lord Jesus will help you. Philippians 4:13, I can do all things through Jesus Christ who strengthens me. So you have to have a vision. You need to be spirit-filled. We heard this morning about Dr. Alan Baker, what he spoke to us about the Holy Spirit. You need to communicate. Communication is the name of the game. You have to have self-confidence if you are a leader for the Lord Jesus. And you have to have confidence in God. You need to be brave. You need to be able to stand. You need to be swimming upstream for the truth. And this is why I really appreciate what President Trump is doing in America. He can swim upstream. He's not a politician, he's a businessman. And you must watch him. And we can take a leaf from his book. And we need to take the lead. We need, if there's an opportunity to do something, a leader will take the opportunity and will do something about it. And back to the Bible with the students, I say we lead by example. And we're training our students to be self-starters. What is a self-starter? A self-starter is somebody who will do something without being told. Do this, do this, do that. We always have chicken parade, and we used to have chicken parade in the military to clean up a place that it will be neat. And our campus is neat. Why? Because we Africans, we like throwing plastic bags and everything all over. But every Friday morning, after morning devotions, then we have chicken parade. All the different cell groups, they go in the different directions, and we clean up all the rubbish. And then one day, one of the students, he got up and he said, Baba Shai, we don't like chicken parade. I said, I also don't like chicken parade. Baba, will you please stop it? Yes, I will stop it once you stop dropping your rubbish. Oh, Baba. And ever since, no problem. They're cleaning up the place. We need to walk in front as a leader. We need to be dedicated. We need to have knowledge. You know, to be a leader and you don't have knowledge, then it becomes dangerous because all the people is now following you. The blind leading the blind. We need to be responsible. We need to be empowered by God. We need to listen. We need to act. Yes, we need to have initiative. We need to be loyal towards God. So, this is what the Lord is really telling us. I want to tell you that George Barna, maybe some of you will know him, he declared leadership remains one of the most needed needs of the church. He did a research and a survey for 15 years and found that the church in America is dying because of a lack of leadership. Nothing is more important than leadership. God is calling you and me to be the leader, according to Genesis 1 verse 26. When Israel had a good king, it went well. If they had a bad king, it went bad with them. We have to have a vision. As we have a vision, and back to the Bible, winning Africa for Jesus Christ. It's a vision, it's a dream, but with action. Winning Africa for Jesus Christ. Look at the difference. Africa for Jesus Christ, it says something, but there's no action. Winning Africa for Jesus Christ says it all. In the Bible, many leaders, my dear, you must come now. I think it's almost time for you. Please come. In the Bible, many leaders started well, but they ended up very badly. I want to tell you about Gideon. Gideon, we all know about Gideon. In his earlier life, he was handpicked by God, and he hated any afgode. What is afgode? Idols. He hated idols. He had a vision for God. And he even demolished any idols. And he was an excellent man. But later on in his life, he rejected the Lord. And he even made an idol. And the reason was because Israel, they fell into sin. And it became a stumbling block. Even what he did, all the good he did, was just demolished. So, many leaders, they start well, but they don't end well. Even Samson. Samson, he was dedicated to God. He was an excellent soldier, an excellent fighter. He was extremely strong. He killed thousands of enemy, and he was faithful. He trusted God. Even he killed a lion, and he could break even the ropes around him. But then in his later life, he lost his dedication towards God. And he was even threatened by his wife. Even his eyes were taken out, and he was in jail. Even his hair were cut. And he left the Lord. He left the Lord. And he became just a spoiled person. And the potential was never coming to the end where the Lord has meant him to do. He even lost his position as a leader because he was appointed by God. My call to you today is that we will start well as leaders for the Lord Jesus Christ, and that we will end well. The biggest challenge for us leaders is that we need to remain faithful to God. In my 76 years, I've seen people starting well and going down, becoming too important, becoming my own God. Then you're not a leader anymore. If you are on your knees, God will keep you on your feet, and you will be a successful leader. All of us are leaders, but we need to be developed. Why are we leaders? Because we are children of the Lord God, and He is our example. He is our example. Amen. Okay, now I'm going to ask my wife also to share her part.
Dear friends, a leader is as strong as his prayer life. Amen. Do you agree with me? But it's so difficult to pray. Some people say, I don't like praying. And you know, Dr. Andrew Murray, the man who started the greatest revival in South Africa, he said, our greatest sin is prayerlessness. Now, some would debate that. But for that man to say our greatest sin is prayerlessness, we have to think about that. One of you said to me, I don't like praying. Is something inside me rebelling against prayer? That's true, because when you really pray, you humble yourself. You climb down from your throne, because all of us love to be first. All of us love to be me, my, and myself, isn't that so? We have to crucify ourselves to lead a life of prayer. When we had to choose our leaders from the Bible, I chose Mary. Mary, the younger sister of Martha, the organizer, I did. Because Mary has taught me so much about leadership. Some leaders have millions who follow them. Some have thousands. Some have one or two. But God makes each one of us a leader who can lead people to Jesus. Mary, we read three times about her in the Bible. We read about her, first of all, at the feet of Jesus. Not saying a word, just sitting at his feet, enjoying his presence. And you can see her sitting there, looking up into the eyes of God and enjoying the message that flowed from his lips. She was listening. And every one of us, we have the privilege being at this camp to meet with Jesus personally. I'm sure you've bumped into him already. Maybe you haven't surrendered fully yet, but you have bumped into him. Like Mary, she was sitting, enjoying his presence. But then we find her in John 11, crying, weeping at the grave of Lazarus, their little brother. Because they thought Jesus was coming. You know, in those days there were no cell phones or telephones. They had to send a letter with someone that ran and went to look where Jesus was and said, someone that you love, the man you love, Lazarus, is very, very sick. Please come. And I think they were heartbroken because he didn't come. He got the message in time, but he didn't come. He knew he didn't have to come. He knew he had to wait because He had to do the miracle to raise him from the dead. And then we see, when Jesus came near to that small little town where they lived, that Martha immediately started arguing and reasoning with him, a very intellectual organizer, and God argued back with her. But when he came to Mary, he just wept with her. He spoke her language, and he can speak your language too. He understands you. He made you. You are precious to him. We find her weeping at the feet of Jesus. And that's the best place to go with your sorrows. And there's not one sitting here that's got no sorrow. All of us have our things that's hurting inside. Some of us rejected by parents. Some of us rejected by our friends. Some of us always thinking, I'm not good enough. Comparing yourselves to others. Well, when you meet with Jesus Christ, Inkosi Amakosi, King of Kings, he will take away the feeling of I'm worth nothing. He will take away the feeling of comparing yourselves to others, like he did with Mary. He wept with her. Even though he knew that he was going to raise Lazarus from the dead, why did he weep? Because he felt with her. He saw the pain inside her. And Jesus can see the pain inside you. He wants to make you a leader. But he's first got to heal you inside. And you've got to bring your pain to him so that he can heal you and can use you to dry the eyes of other people weeping. Because when God has healed you, then you are able to stretch out your hands and pray for others who are hurting. In the third place, we find Mary in John 12 at the feet of Jesus again. And this time, she's breaking 1 year's salary and alabaster to break off the head. They didn't have they didn't have a lid that you could screw on or off. You had to break it to get the things out, and you had to pour out everything at the same time. She broke the head and she poured it, the nard, onto the feet of Jesus, sacrificing everything. And Jesus is worthy for us to sacrifice everything. What are your dreams? What are your plans? Isn't God calling you for something else? Are you willing to sacrifice your future and say, Lord, here I am, send me. Because he has a specific calling for you. Maybe he wants you in some far off mission field. Maybe he wants you here in South Africa. Wherever he wants you, that is the softest place for a sinner, the will of God. And that's where we find Mary sacrificing what she had, the very best. Friends, I wrote a little book, Praying for Missionaries. Everything I'm saying to you is inside here. And as I just show a few things here, we find when we see that, the Westminster Confession of Faith declares that prayer is an offering up of our desires unto God in the name of Christ by the help of His Spirit, with a confession of our sins and thankful acknowledgement of His mercy. There are many definitions of prayer. The one definition that I loved very much was the one that Martin Luther said. He said, prayer is the offering up of my whole soul unto God. Prayer is not a senseless repetition of words. Some people can speak and speak and speak, repeating, thinking that God will answer them by a senseless repetition of words. When you think of the Baal priests who were jumping around, cutting themselves with the blood spurting out, there was no answer because Baal is dead. Wasn't there. Prayer is never to impress others. I'm afraid we in Africa, we love speaking, we love praying aloud, and it's so often to impress others. We even had people at Back to the Bible who came to confess and said, we were trying to speak in tongues to make noises so that others could think I'm very holy. But we confess before God it was false. Prayer is not trusting in yourself. You remember the Pharisee came and said, I'm so glad I'm not like that sinner. I give tithings. I do this. I do this. He wasn't praying. He was bragging. That's not prayer. And then prayer is not a way of manipulating God. In James 4 verse 3 we read, you ask and you fail to receive because you ask with the wrong purpose and evil selfish motives. Your intention is to use it in sensual pleasures. True prayer is nothing else than the opening up of your heart before God. There are different ways of praying, and I believe that the pastors who are used most by God are those who pray long when they are alone. Lots of quiet prayer alone with God means lots of power in public. Prayer in the first place is verbal. We all know that. We pray, we ask, we cry like Hannah for a son. We weep before the Lord. We wrestle like Epaphras, wrestling for the church. It is calling on him, Psalm 91. He shall call upon me and I will answer him. I'll be with him in trouble. And then God himself says in Psalm 50, call on me in the day of trouble. I will save you and you shall honor me. We are all very good at praying aloud. But non-verbal prayer, waiting on God, is maybe even more important. Because once we have opened our heart, sometimes we turn around and walk away. And then God wants to speak to us. God wants to, in the quiet of our hearts, the Bible verses that we have learned will ring in our ears. Sitting at the feet of Jesus. In John 10 we read, the sheep listen to the good shepherd's voice and heed it. He walks on before them, and the sheep follow him because they know his voice. They will never follow a stranger because they do not know the voice of the strangers. The sheep that are my own are listening to my voice. I know them and they follow me. Do you know the voice of Jesus? I'm not speaking about a loud voice because God keeps certain things private. But do you know the voice of God? There are so many voices in the world. So many voices, your own culture, your own parents, your own desires, your friends, the world around you. But do you know the voice of Jesus? It's my prayer this morning that every one of you will know the voice of Jesus, that you can follow it. But the third most important one about prayer, number one is speaking, crying, verbally, communicating with God. The second one is listening. But the third one, the most important, is to live, to be in the presence of God. I want to challenge you to take time. If you want to be a leader for God, you must learn to live in the presence of God. Christ must be the home of your thoughts. Whenever you are not busy studying or doing things, your thoughts must return home to God. It must live in the presence of God. And then there will be joy forever, in spite of troubles and sadness and crisis that happens in our lives. Psalm 11 verse 16 verse 11 says, in his presence is fullness of joy. Say it with me. Psalm 16 verse 11. In God's presence is fullness of joy. Yeah. My time is flying, but just let me say something about how important is prayer to God. It's important to us, but it's very important to God. God the Father, you know, in the Old Testament, you never read that they spoke to him as Father. He was God the Almighty. He said, as a father, but nobody ever addressed him as father. But in the New Testament, Jesus said, our father. The Jews were shocked. They couldn't think of such an intimate relationship with God. God the Father says, call on me, I'm there for you. Jesus, he died and he rose from the dead. And when he went to glory, sat there as the conqueror of Calvary. And he is the one who could just give orders because he's the victor. And where do we find him in heaven? On his knees, praying for you and me, our great intercessor. That's a very big marvel to me. And the last one, the Holy Spirit. We thank God that he's also praying for us and interceding for us. May God bless you. If you would like to read the many miracles, add back to the Bible too, is in this little book. It's available at the back.
Thank you, my dear. She is the one inspiring me to be a leader for Jesus Christ, even under trying conditions. To summarize, there is a debate whether you are born as a leader or do you are being made as a leader. I can tell you, my Bible tells me nobody is born as a leader. Leaders are made. Think of Moses. A humble man. He had 5 excuses when he was called by God to take the Israelites back to the promised land. He said, I can't do it. I can't speak. Who am I? They will not listen to me. Please take my brother Aaron rather. And the Lord said, you will do it. And God made him the leader he wanted him to be. And he did a good job for the Lord. So, back to the Bible. All of us are leaders and we need to be developed. Here is the book, Winning Africa for Jesus Christ, and then Gebedssymfonie in Afrikaans, dear Mama Elisa. Meer as Oorwinnaar is a book which I've written because my 4 sons, they asked me, they said, we find national servicemen writing books and everything was so bad in the army. Dad, you were a general and you were a Christian. So what do you say? So this is all in here. And then also the book I've written about leadership in the church. Amen. Anything else from you? Okay, let's pray. Lord Jesus, Father God, Holy Spirit, thank you that you are our example of the ideal leader. You are and you were a servant leader, serving your people, serving the world. Lord, you gave your only son, Jesus Christ, because in our place, we should have been crucified. We should have been in hell. And you saved us all. Thank you that you've put us on this world for a specific purpose. And us being your children, we are leaders, we have followers. Sometimes we don't even know who is following us, but people watching us. Will you please make us the leaders you want us to be? Lord, here we are. Send us. In Jesus' name, amen.